ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto number 7, Chapter number 5, and text number 25 and 26. Nisamgaita sutavacho hiranyakashipustadha guruputram huvachedam rusa prasupuritadara. Translation. After hearing these words of devotional service from the mouth of his son, Prahlad, Hiranyakashipu was extremely angry. His lips trembling, he spoke as follows to Sanda, the son of his guru, Sukracharya. Brahma, Bando, Kim, Etathe, Vipaksham, Srayatasata, Asaram, Grahito, Bhalo, Mam, Anaditriya, Durmate, Brahma Bando Kim Yetate, Vipaksham Srayatasata, Asaram Grahito Balo, Mamana Dritya Drumate, Brahma Bando Kim Yetate, Vipaksham Srayatasata, Asaram Grahito Balo, Mamanadritya Durmate, Brahma Bando Kim Yetate, Vipaksham Srayatasata, Asaram Grahito Balo, Mamanadritya Durmate, Brahma Bando. Unqualified son of a Brahmana. Kim yetat? What is this? Te, by you. Vipaksham, the party of enemies. Srayatha, taking shelter. Asatha, the most mischievous. Asaram, nonsense. Grahita, taught. Balaha, the boy. Mam, me. Anadritya, not caring for. Durmate, O foolish teacher. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. O unqualified, the most heinous son of Brahmana, you have disobeyed my order and taken shelter of the party of my enemies. You have taught this poor boy about devotional service. What is this nonsense? Purport. In this verse, the word asara, meaning having no substance, is significant. For a demon, there is no substance in the process of devotional service. But to a devotee, devotional service is the only essential factor in life. Since Hiranyakashipu did not like devotional service, the essence of life, he chastised Prahlad Maharaj, teachers, with the harsh words. Om Agyanath Mirandasya Gyananjana Salagya Chakshuran Miradamena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Sunyabadi Paschachari Satarini Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation one more time. O unqualified, most heinous son of Brahmana, you have disobeyed my order and taken shelter of the party of my enemies. You have taught this poor boy about devotional service. What is this nonsense? So here we see the demonic nature and also their characters. In the previous verse, we saw that Srila Prahlad Maharaj was teachings about Nauvida Bhakti, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Mandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, and everything. And when Hiranyakashipu wanted to know about his son's eloquence or his what he learned, and when he found out that he learned about Vishnu and his devotional service, and he became very angry. The whole chapter speaks about this only. And in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, we see that in 16th chapter, Krishna speaks about the demonic nature of a person. He gives a list of all the qualities of demons. And he literally, he speaks about, like, in 18 verses, most of the verses, he speaks about the demonic nature. And the first, in the 16th verse, 16th chapter, 4th verse, he talks about the prime nature of a demon. He says they're very pride and they're very arrogant. No? He talks about dhambo, dharpo, bhimanamscha, krodha parashyam yevacha, agyanam chabi jatasya, partha sampadamasurim. And he tells Arjuna that these are the qualities which belongs to the demons. The first thing is they're very proud, and they're very arrogant, and they're very anger and conceit, which means they're very cunning, and they're very harsh. Plus, apart from that, they're very ignorant. And further, he explains, Krishna explains about what it is this. And he talks about pravritim cha nivritim cha janana vidurashraha na saucham na pichacharo na satyam tesu vidyate. He talks about, and these people, they do not know what is right and what is wrong, and what is to be done and what is not to be done. And they neither have a proper behavior, and nor they are very clean. And plus, there is no truth found in them. You know, just like in the modern days, if you go for a preaching, and to preach about religion, or preach about dharma, or preach about Krishna consciousness, you need to take permission. And you will be, first of all, what do you call, screened, whether you are going to convince our people. If you are going to convince our people to become like you, and better, we are not going to give you permission. Yeah? In the schools and colleges, and most of the devotees, they have experience. You know, they don't want to their children to get influenced by your association. You know, the moment, I remember when I went in Gujarat, one place, The first thing he told us is that there are too many religionists. There are too many people come to speak about God. And too many of our students, they become like you. You know, our parents are too upset. Their children's parents, they're very upset. You know, they even complain to their college, the deans, that, you know, we send our children to become a doctor, an engineer, or a big scholar. And people, they come here, and some so-called devotees, they come and they influence them, and then they change their whole life. You know, instead of becoming a big scholar, they end up becoming a renounced person. They put on saffron, they shave their head, and not only that, they give up their family life and go with those people. You know, it's a big issue. So some of the colleges, they don't want to even let people speak about religion. And the religion is a big, it's a taboo, you know, it's banned. Please don't come. We are very much concerned about our children, that they get influenced by devotional life. Once you get influenced, then you're done forever. So that we see even in the modern day's life, that people, they don't very much agreed with what we teach to people. But at the same time, we see the miracle that the how people change the life. It's a big transformation. That in the government or any people in general, they're not able to see that a person who is a hippie or who is having a demonic nature, or who was eating meat and doing all kinds, breaking all kinds of rules and regulations, once he takes up devotional life, is a total transformation. He becomes a sadhu. And just like in Narada Muni, he met that Mrigari, who was a hunter, and who was taking pleasure in hunting animals, half hunting, and then taking pleasure in their pain. Just meeting a sadhu, and he takes up a devotional life, and it's just a total transformation. His life becomes transformed, and he develops all the good qualities just in a very short while. And this is a power of devotional life. But somehow, I mesmerized that, how come Hiranyakashipu didn't change? You know, his one son is a pure devotee of Lord Krishna, and he's one of the Mahajana, and he's very much in touch with him, and every day Prahlad Maharaj is talking to him, you know, about Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu. Every second he talks about only Vishnu. And still Hiranyakashipu is so much stubborn and adamant that he just doesn't want to change himself. See, there is always an independence and our choice, that people, either you want to get influenced by devotees or you may not. Even you may meet a pure devotee and you may not get influenced. No, just like Bhuvaneshwar Prabhu on the other day, he made a very good point that some places where people, they just saw Srila Prabhupada and they become a devotee. You know, in the airport, people, they just saw him dancing and jumping, the devotees, and they just chanting Jai Prabhupada and Jai Prabhupada, and they, you know, they just went behind him. They just went behind him and they became devotees. I remember Srila Parvati Mataji, she told me about Kripamai Prabhu, who is in UK, London, how he became a devotee. That Parvati Mataji and a group of devotees, they went in a van, car, were distributing books, and Kripamai Prabhu, who was a Karmi in those days, he just went behind him, and he just stayed with him, and then later on his life changed, and he became a devotee. And he made a couple of devotees in the doorstep. That he caught one person who was a young man who came in. He caught one person, he changed him a devotee, and he became a Bhakti Vikas Swami. You know, it was a miracle how devotional life, it can change a life like overnight. People, they get influenced by the devotee, and suddenly all the people get good qualities in them. But here we saw that Hiranyakashipu is totally a demoniac. And Krishna talks about like 10-12 verses. He gives a big list. And plus he talks about, you know, the demons, that's the demonic nature. They always absorbed in conceit and pride. They hold on to themselves to be in that mode. Otherwise, how is it possible? You keep one holds on to themselves. There are always the prime necessity of a human civilization at the present is to gratify the senses. The whole world, we see everywhere people are suffering, and people to themselves realize this material world is so miserable. You know, everyone, each and everyone in each nook and corner, we see people are very much concerned about the future and about their own life. And plus, they're always depressed and worried, keeping always. And plus, the material world is, you know, in the super hot summer. You know, one side the atmosphere is pressurizing, and other side the people, the life becoming degraded every day. Every day, day by day, people are, we see that they're taking up the demoniac qualities. What we see in Hiranyakashipu, we see in every people, everywhere, every second person is having a demonic qualities. You know, people, they don't want to trust one another. Even in the trains, if you want to leave a bag, you have to think 100 times whether you should leave the bag and go to the washroom or no. It has become so degraded that people, they can't trust anyone. This is a symptom of a Kali Yuga. Plus the demons, we see that they are bewildered by their false ego, strength, pride, lust and anger. Ahankaram balam darpam kamam krodham cha samsritaha mam atma paradehisu pradvishanto bayasukyaha. Bewildered by false ego, strength and pride, the demons become envious of the Supreme Personality of God, who is situated in their own bodies and in the bodies of others, and blaspheming against the real religion. Hiranyakashipu, he was envious of his own son. That was the only reason that he couldn't become a devotee. Ganesha Prabhu, he made that same point that some devotees, they appreciated Srila Prabhupada's greatness. The people in general, they just looked at him and he said, he is a good man, you know, he is shining. The man is shining. He appreciated some partial part of the pure devotee. And immediately they got influenced by that transcendental effulgence. They became devotees. And some people, knowingly, they ignored him. Okay, what is the big deal? He is also one among the person like others. Though they could really feel that he is something special, but they don't want to submit themselves to that person. That's due to that envious nature that they couldn't become a devotee. Otherwise, pure devotee is that is just enough. He just walks around, people they look at him and they become devotees. You don't even have to give a speech or preach anyone, or try your best to convince others to become Krishna conscious. There is no need. Because just is a darshan, is darshana pavitra koro yetumaragun. This is a quality of a pure devotee that he just walks around, anyone looks at him, they get impressed. Immediately that inspiration, the inspiration to become Krishna consciousness increases. We see that even in our present life, that when some elevated devotee or an advanced Vaishnava, when he comes to the temple, immediately the vibrant, the temple atmosphere changes. And all the devotees around him, they get an inspiration, which is not a mundane, and which is totally spiritual, and it's nothing but Krishna actually. Because his whole day is thinking of Krishna, and whole day is thinking about how to preach Krishna, and he's absorbed in the Krishna conscious life. So due to that, Krishna himself, in the form of effulgence and his association, he just pops out and grabs others. And whoever is non-envious, they get the opportunity. And immediately they get an opportunity to become they get influenced by that potency, that bhakti potency. It's so powerful that just being with him, you know, you develop the taste for chanting, japa, and you get taste for coming to Mangalarati, which you didn't had before. Just by being his association, immediately it's a life-changing, just moment association, it just changes your whole life. And then it even surprises you that how come it happened? You know, that's the power of bhakti. That just being non-envious, the person, you just give a little respect to him and appreciate the other person's good qualities. Oh, what a nice character he was. Just by doing that, the person, he get the same amount of good qualities within him. This is how actually a person being a positive, it affects others. If you're just being positive and accepting positive within the others, it has the same effect, the wavelength, what do you call, the magnetic effect. If you appreciate a good qualities, it immediately you share with the other person is having. But Hiranyakashipu here, it didn't seem like he never appreciated any of his good qualities because of his proud and false strength, thinking himself that I am the great, I am power, I can do anything I want. And due to this, it covered the whole intelligence. The first thing, that is, this is what happens. A person, when he becomes proud, the first thing happens is intelligence gets covered, that he cannot discriminate what is right and what is wrong, and he cannot hear people what they are telling to him. He cannot hear good advices, and he cannot admit himself that he is lacking in something. He has some shortcomings that he doesn't admit. That's the biggest issue. You know, even Arjuna was not admitting in the second chapter, we see that Krishna talks him, "You fool, you're talking like a fool. You think yourself, you know everything, but you are a fool. Because you think yourself, you are the body, and whatever connected to that, it will exist forever. And these are eternity." He said, "You are a fool. You're just like a murk." When he gets chastised, and he admits, Arjuna admits, that's the a symptom of a pure devotee. You know, when you chastise people, that he should admit. Even if he is not wrong, even he may be not having many shortcomings, but he always think himself that there is something to learn, that I need to improve myself. That's the mode of goodness, and plus it's a step up for a person in devotional life. The moment you start hearing and ready to accept something to improve, immediately Krishna is within the heart as a Paramatma. It just immediately indicates. It immediately indicates the person's shortcomings. But here we see that Hiranyakashipu didn't let him to do, let him to that happen. And plus here in this shloka also it says there is no substance of a life, of a demon's life. There is no substance. Doesn't matter how great they are, how powerful they are, or whatever great they may do in their own life, that doesn't make any sense, because everything goes to go vain in one's life. And further here, Srila Prabhupada explains about the devotional life. And we also see in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, that Krishna says that only by devotional life one can understand me. The bhakti avam abhijanati yavaneshchasmi tattvataha tato mam entatudo gatva visate tadanantram. One can understand me as I am, as a supreme personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And when one is in full conscious of me, by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. And and further he says, one has to take up to the pure devotional service under the guidance of a pure devotee, not my mere mental speculation. And this is another qualification for a person to how to advance in spiritual life. Yet Krishna talks about, if you want to understand me as I am, you have to take shelter of a person who is a devotee and accept him as your full guidance. And someone who is practicing Krishna consciousness, and someone who is life, and whose vision, and whose future, everything is Krishna. And nothing is apart from that. And he is a pure devotee. And also, one devotee said that, you know, to become a pure devotee, it's difficult. But to perform pure devotional service, not necessary that you have to be a pure devotee. Even a neophyte devotee can just, the person who joins the movement, and the very same day and very same moment, he may not be a pure devotee, but he can perform pure devotional service. Just like a person who sits in the day one, he comes and sits in the class, and if he gets an intention, okay, my dear Krishna, I am here just to hear about you, that I am not a pure devotee, but to give pleasure to you, I'm hearing you. The moment you have the change the intention, immediately that's that action, that intent, that activity, everything becomes pure. Though you may not have crossed the anartha nivritti, you may not even you may not be initiated devotee, you may not have overcome all lust, anger, envious, greed, whatever. But the day one, from the day one, a person can perform pure devotional life. He can just accept Krishna and he can change the intention that whatever I'm going to do, it's for the pleasure of Krishna. That actually that the intention is the intention is pure, then the activity becomes pure too. Not necessarily you have to wait until the day to become a pure devotee to perform pure devotional service. A neophyte devotee just steps in, he can just offer a tulsi to Krishna. This is for Krishna, this is for his pleasure. And immediately that activity is accepted as pure. Because the intention is pure, and that's it. There is nothing further, Krishna wants it. Because Bhavagrahi Janardana, Krishna wants only looking after a devotee's intention. But at the same time, after even 20, 30 years, lifetimes, also, you may not become a pure devotee and you may not perform pure devotional service if the intention is not good. People may perform a long time devotional life but still hold on to personal desires. And if the intention is not changing, that the new devotee is better than you. So ultimately, Rupa Goswami says that in Prabhupada, in his properties, it talks about the spiritual advancement, it depends on the attitude of the follower. Doesn't matter years, doesn't matter seniority, doesn't matter whose disciple are you, doesn't matter you are a big acharya or not. If the intention is not proper, and you have to work on yourself, there is some serious issues. The moment if you're not changing your intentions, and perhaps Krishna says that naham prakasah sarvasya yoga maya samanvidaya mudoyam nabijanati lokom ajam avyayam. I am never manifest to the foolish people. Plus he says, under the unintelligent, for them I am covered by my internal potency. Therefore, they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. Once you think that you are learned and you are scholar and you are proud of your education, and Krishna says, I am not manifest to those people. It's not that you go to someone challenges Krishna that, okay, I am here now, and you people are teaching about Krishna consciousness, okay, show me God. I want to see God. Yeah, until I see Krishna, I don't believe in Krishna. And that Krishna says, you are a fool, unintelligent. I'm not going to manifest in front of you like that. I'm not your servant. There is a process which has to be taken up seriously to achieve me. And then there are people who are lined up, who want to see Krishna and showing all their good qualities and giving up their life and everything to see me with a great humility and a sincere devotion. And you come here and you challenge me, you fool. And Krishna is talking, the naam prakasaka sarvasya, yoga maya samanvitaka. Such people, even after a billion lifetimes, they don't see me. You know, even if they see, then Krishna says, such people are very rare. By your own endeavor, that's not going to happen. That's what Krishna is telling. That, oh my Lord, you are the maintainer of the universe. And devotee prays. Now devotee starts praying to Krishna that you are the maintainer of the entire universe, and devotional service too is the highest religious principle. There is nothing higher than that. Anyone speaks about religion, the essence should be service to Krishna. We see that the whole world, everywhere, every nook and corner, people have some kind of a religion to talk about and to discuss with and to practice. But ultimately one has to end up serving Krishna with Navvidha Bhakti, as Prahlad Maharaj says, Shravanam, hearing, and chanting, etc. If anyone does that, that's the perfection of a religion. And if just gives the lip service of talking about religion and if they're not practicing what they're talking, it's just a waste of time. Shramayavehi kevalam. And it's not a religion at all. It's just a lip service. It doesn't make any sense. But and the devotee prays to Krishna here that the Brahma Jyoti is covering of the internal potency. May you kindly remove these glowing effulgence that impedes my seeing your Sachidananda Vigraha. And the Supreme Personality of God in his transcendental form of bliss, knowledge, is covered by internal potency of the Brahmajyoti, and the less intelligent personalist cannot see that Supreme on this account. This is a mood of a devotee that he prays to Krishna to be a, one of his associates and to his form, to see his form and to serve him with a great love and affection. And further, Srila Sanatana Goswami talks about in Hari Bhakti Vilas, he tells that Name Bhakta Chaturveda Mad Bhakta Swapacha Priyo Tasmai Deyam Tato Grayam Sacha Pujyato Yathahi Aham. Even though a person is a well-learned scholar of the Sanskrit Vedic literature, he is not accepted as my pure devotee unless he is in pure, he is pure in devotional service. We see in the whole Shastra literatures, everywhere the acharyas describe in a different manners that how devotional service is glorified. Even though a person is born in a family of a dog eater, he is very dear to me if he is a pure devotee who has no motive to enjoy fruitive activities or mental speculation. Indeed, all respect should be given to him and whatever he offers should be accepted. Such devotees are as worshipable as I am. And this is spoken by Prabhupada quotes in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And actually, Krishna is very powerful. We see that Krishna's energy and Krishna's creation. If you go around the world and if you see what he has, you know, what the creation of the Lord is, it just bewilders you. And plus it scares you. It's very scary, the material world. You know, the ocean, the mountains, and the rivers. And one sense is very beautiful to see the scenic beauty you people they catch photos and etc. On the other side, we can see the Krishna's energy is so powerful. Once Dinabandhu made a very good point that Krishna, by his will, not even will, he just exhales a billion universe and he inhales another billion universe, which is a matter of a second. And he said further that, and imagine a person, how powerful he must be. You can't, you know, if you go to altitude high places, you can't even breathe properly. There is no oxygen. You can't even walk. You know, in 5 minutes you lose your stamina. And in the, you know, sixth minute you wanted to come back, you know, you change your mind, you lose your determination. You can't even breathe if there is no place oxygen or. But Krishna, he just breathes a billion universe and inhales in another billion universe. And he does that without any effort. And he does that while sleeping. He's just dreaming something. And he just, while sleeping, he does that. And Dinabandhu Prabhu said, so when you chant his name, so you have to be very careful. Because you are dealing with a really powerful personality. He's not an ordinary person at all. He's not a joke. He's not a joke. He's not some kind of a fictional, you know, a presentation in the Bhagavatam that, you know, people make a fictional movie, of a scientific fictional movie, you know, something is coming out, you know, all kinds of fictional movies. It's not a fictional movie. You are dealing with a powerful personality, almighty powerful personality, who can fulfill all your desires like this. And he's no matter for him. Because he breathes a billion universe, what is the big deal for him to help you in your achievements? What is the big deal? And what are your desires? You know, maximum you want a bungalow, maximum you want a Lamborghini car, a maximum you wanted to go to America or London or whatever. It's a very petty thing. But this person is a powerful personality whom you are chanting his name. If you click, if that clicks you, that's it. Your life is success. that you are not dealing with an ordinary person, but you are dealing with a powerful personality. His energy and his power is beyond the imagination of the sages and any big personality in this world. When he talks about his universal form to Arjun, he himself, Krishna, says that this is not even mentioned in the Vedas. What I am showing to you, the universal form, my power, this is not even mentioned in the Vedas. This is only you are my friend, I am showing it to you, that my power, what is my power is. And Arjun get bewildered watching all these things. And he was having a friendly behavior with Krishna, like, you know, putting his hands on his neck or shoulder, and, you know, hugging him. Or even in Mahabharata it mentions that, you know, Arjun, he took his leg and put his leg on Krishna's leg. And he leaned on his chair and he was talking to him. And he remembered all those things, you know, how casual was he was with Krishna. And remember all those things, and he got scared. Oh my dear Krishna, please forgive me for all my casual behavior with you. I was thinking you are some ordinary person, you know. And when he showed his powerful energies, and Arjuna just, he did nothing but he just bowed down to Krishna. And then Krishna says, not even the sages know me. What to speak of other people? Even the great, great jnanis and yogis, they don't even know. Not even the Vedas know me. Not even Brahma know me. Because you are my friend, I'm just showing it to you. What is my power? So we are actually dealing with a powerful personality, and his devotional service is a powerful purificatory process. It's something simple. That's, recently I heard one Swami's lecture who almost attained perfection. You know, after 40 years, he spoke that. He said, it's powerful purificatory process in Shravanam and Kirtanam, that it just gives you a realization that you are not this body, you are self. That you are connected with Krishna. It just manifests, everything can be manifested in front of you. Just Krishna's name, personally Krishna says himself in the, you know, when he comes as Lord Chaitanya, it's everything, I am inside my name. It's my name and me, there is no different. If you chant my name, if you accept me in the form of a name, I am there with you. And plus, the previous to this, in the shloka, something which clicked my mind is that, you know, one has to consider a Krishna as your very good friend. You know, that's one of the Navavidha Bhakti. How many of you consider Krishna as your very good friend? Hands up. Have you ever thought of accepting Krishna as your friend? Saranji? Really? Most of the time, we don't have a concept of, oh, my dear Lord, you're my good friend, you know? You know, I can share, because that is true. You know, because some things we may not share with everyone. But in front of Krishna, you don't have a shame to share everything with Krishna. You know, that shows that he is your very good friend, he is your very good well-wisher, and plus he is very trustworthy. You know, you go to Krishna, in front of him, you know, my dear Krishna, I did so many bad things, you know, that I can't tell to anyone. You know, it's too bad. But somehow I'm opening it to you. Because naturally we have that kind of a connection with Krishna. That you go in front of the Lord and you just open up everything. You know, whatever you did in the past and whatever your desires you have. That it's a natural constitutional position to be in relation with Krishna. So it is one of the, Prahlad Maharaj says, that's one of the devotional life. It's authentic to think Krishna is my very good friend. He's my great friend. That I accept him in my life as a great friend. If you just do that, it's good to have a very good guy as your friend. You know, in life, people, they actually want relationship. And most of the time, you see in the material world, that everyone is want to have some relationship. It's not that either a brahmachari or a sannyasi, either a grahastha or whatever. Everyone like to have a relationship. Most of the time doesn't happen in the material world, so people get frustrated. At one point or another, people end up in frustration because they can't fulfill desires, or they may not be capable of being as your friend, or somehow or other they cannot match it. But Krishna, but here we see Prahlada Maharaj says, consider Lord as one's best friend. Your life is success. I think I'll stop here, and if anyone has any questions, comments, you can have it. Thank you very much. Yes, Prabhuji. Mike. Hey, guys.
Regarding Krishna Mata Jyoti, so I always wonder why the Mayavadis are so attracted to negating the personality of Krishna. They're thinking there's some pleasure in that Brahma Buddha platform of non duality and like that. So explain a little bit more about that.
Thank you for rapid hearing, good hearing. Thank you. I just quoted that shloka, how a devotee prays. Actually, that's a jnani. Jnani is absorbed in that. But as a devotee, when he prays, this is in the Isha Upanishad, where the Lord say, where he talks to Krishna that the gradual process. From a jnani to a yogi, and yogi to a dhyani, and further a devotee. He talks about that. But personally, as a devotee, he is not concerned about all those things. He just only concerned about how to please Krishna. You are right.
What is the attraction? You take the position of the devil's advocate. What is that attraction that some of the Mayavadis are so attached to? Because Lord Chaitanya himself had to come and convert the Mayavadis. So there's some attraction there. Is it the ego that one thinks that it's all coming from him?
Yeah, but it's the ego, because you think, I want to be merged with him. I don't want to accept someone as higher than me. I just want to be equal to him so that I can merge with him. That is Mayavadi concept. They don't want to accept someone higher, superior. No. It's you can realize that you are Brahman. And they do realize they are Brahman. They are transcendental. And they don't go further. And they're just satisfied with that. This is what happens. It's Hiranyakashipu is the same Mayavadi concept. He doesn't want to accept anyone higher than him. But rather, opposite to that, we see in devotee's life, the more he is advanced, the more he submit himself to anyone. The more advanced devotee thinks himself that he is the less advanced. And he thinks of, everyone has become a Vaishnava, it's just me that I have not become a devotee. It's totally a 360 degree opposite of a devotee and a Mayavadi. Hope I answered your question.
Thank you. Devotee, like you mentioned, advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the nature of the follower. So, sometimes we are very complacent. We think that whatever I'm doing is enough. And that actually hinders, the step up in devotion service. And also, most of the time, like I'm not working on this, I feel. I learned from this attitude to appreciate the good qualities. And sometimes, somewhere the life is, somewhere in the mind that our response to practice institution, and when I see other sadhus who are very exalted but still I'm not able to appreciate their devotion. So how to overcome these kind of propensities?
In Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, it talks about by serving a devotee, you can develop all the good qualities and you can change your attitude. So it's very simple. You start serving some Vaishnavas and a miracle will happen. You start doing some service with the devotees. You voluntarily accept some a kind of some tapasya. That you to change, if you think that you wanted to improve yourself, so that's the first step, that you wanted to improve, that you wanted to go further. So the next step is there has to be some practical application. Now you got some realization that you are somewhere you're stuck, that something is not working with you. So now the practical application in the Shastra is that you do some service to the devotee. You know, go to some sadhus, whomever you feel like these, whomever you impressed with, either you can be your spiritual master or someone who is a sincere person who is engaged in the our movement. You go to him, hear from him, and start serving him. Do some menial service. And especially, it is recommended that when you do menial service, as a fast transformation, because you take up something menial. But it changes your attitude. That it purifies you. That the attitude of thinking that you are great, you start discriminating others, you're judgmental, all this mentality, it changes, it purifies. Krishna, Swanata Swatantakata Krishna. Krishna in the heart of a devotee, purifies us by seeing the devotee's sincere effort. When you are sincere, Krishna is looking at you because he's smelling all your desires. He just smells like just like we smell the flowers. He's smelling every second of what you are thinking, what you are feeling, what you are willing. So he can just reciprocate. You know, a couple of days before we went to Gangotri, Yamunotri, while coming back, we were shortage of money. You know, we didn't have money to come in a bus. We just thought of it and then we forgot. And we just thought of that and then we forgot that. We didn't worry about so much about that. And suddenly one person came in the doorstep. He said, Sadhuji, Hare Krishna, Swamiji, is there any service for me which I can do for you? And he came like two times and he asked for three times. And then we didn't click my mind, you know. We were thinking, okay, some person is a natural. You know, people who saw someone in saffron, they accept him as a Swami and they naturally they respect, etc. But that person, he came like three times and he asked for, Swamiji, is there any seva for me? Please give some seva. Then we ignored him for three times. When we sat in the bus, we thought, oh my God, I should have asked him some money, you know. I was not having enough money for the bus. And finally, we went to find that person, he is gone. We couldn't find him later. Anyway, somehow we managed. So Krishna as a well-wisher, that's what Krishna says, I am well-wisher of everyone. You don't recognize me. That I am just sitting next to you for eternity. And Prabhupada says that even in your pig's body, Krishna is sitting with you next to you. See, who can be a best friend, a person who can be a best friend like except Krishna? You know, even if you take a pig's body, he just still comes with you. You know, you can do that. If some person becomes like a mentality or a behavior becomes like a pig, will you accompany him? No, Krishna does that. That's why he's transcendental. He's not under the modes of material nature. So if you have a sincere endeavor, Krishna immediately, within the heart, as a Chaitya Guru, Paramatma, is right there looking an opportunity to take you back home, back to God. Can just help you in a way, whatever you need. Serve Krishna as devotee, that's the best process. And you know, you get taste for hearing and chanting. Bhagavatam recommends that. If you don't have a japa taste, if you don't have attraction for Krishna, go voluntarily and serve the devotees. You know, wash his clothes, clean the floor, serve them, cook for them. Help them as being an assistant. Assist people in becoming a big people. Don't try to become a big, and assist people in becoming big. That makes you big, actually. That destroys all your false ego. Though it is difficult, it's not easy. Because your expectation is very high that you wanted to advance in devotional life, you wanted to achieve Krishna. So there has to be some reciprocation that you give up ego and Krishna gives you. There has to be some reciprocation. You cannot just achieve Krishna without nothing. From your side, there has to be some substantial endeavor. He wants to look at you that you are working in something substantial, you want to give to him. Then Krishna accepts that. It's because we see in pure devotee's life, it's nothing easy. They are really worked hard. They gave up everything. They gave up the mind, they gave up the body, they gave up words. Every second, every breath is for Krishna. Then Krishna, you know, because you want something the topmost in the world and something which is not comparable to anything. And but you wanted without any endeavor, without any sincerity, without any effort, how that's going to happen. So from your side, it has to be something, a tangible, a substantial endeavor. Krishna looks at that and becomes pleased. His eyes become blink. Okay, he's a good boy. He's my guy. You know, let me give some mercy. So shouldn't be a problem. Because a lot of nice devotees are there. They always protect you. They always are well-wishers. Just go to them, they're very nice. They give you prasadam. They talk something nice, immediately changes, brings changes in life. Just be with the devotees, serve them. Slowly, you'll go to the Krishna. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Vancha kalpa drubhyascha kripa sindhubhyaya vacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha.